Welcome back to WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. The hat out front should tell you. So I'm actually wearing my State Fair shirt because I went over, had some chicken and waffles and some shrimp and grits. And these are the kinds of things that I would be eating in Nashville, Tennessee this weekend if it weren't for this damn plague and bombers in Nashville out in front of where I had an incredible party at Graham Central many, many years ago. Going down there with the Oilers back in the day and Eddie George and Ray Lewis, and I'm going to be missing out this week, so I'm going to be spending the whole week down in Tennessee talking to a lot of folks in and around the Titans and the organization. No one covers them better than this guy. He is a returning victim here to Baltimore Positive at WNST. He's the co-host of Midday 180 in Nashville. You can find him in Hutton 1045. That's 104.5 down there, 104.5 The Zone, and zoning in. You know, this is fun, actually, hanging out with you guys on the Zoom thing, because you guys have been calling in all these years. We're radio guys.
Yeah.
The Zoom thing's kind of fun. I didn't know it was going to be you, Indianapolis, Buffalo, Pittsburgh. I figured we're going on the road. We're going to go everywhere. Give me a little snapshot of life in Nashville right now, especially after the tragedy on Christmas.
You know, it's slow moving. And I say that I'm actually back in studio, Nestor, which is great because we were broadcasting from our home studios for about 6 months, 7 months. And luckily, we're back in on a limited time basis for our show only.
That means you like your co-hosts.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, we get into work quickly around town, which is not usually the case. Usually, we're in a lot of traffic. There is no traffic around town. So
I get stuck at that damn White Castle and the churches every time I'm there, man. Right up Broadway.
Yeah. You know, and you mentioned Second Avenue. It's an historic avenue in downtown Nashville that has just been completely blocked off. So if you were traveling in right now, you don't get anything but Broadway.
Dude, everybody's got a memory on Second Avenue, right? I mean, everybody,
yeah, good and bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, we came down there when Stover hit the kick. It's 12 years ago now, whenever it was.
Yeah.
And won that game, and we rocked it, and your town's grown up so much. I mean, you know my old relationship with Barry Trotz. Trotz is going to come on this week as well, and I was an old Fang Finger guy and the Predators, and I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. So I've spent a lot of time in Nashville. I mean, I'm skipping it this week. My dear friend Steve Gorman just texted me, said he tests positive for COVID the other day. I know Tennessee's going crazy with COVID right now,
yes.
And I've seen the scenes down there with what's going on probably before the tragedy. I'm just avoiding it, and it's a shame because I love everything about it. I mean, and obviously these teams have such history, and we think of Eddie George and Ray Lewis, but I also think of Zeus jumping off and you guys making a kick and bouncing us. And I tell you, Lamar Jackson's thinking about what happened here 51 weeks ago, right? So this rivalry, the fact that we're not in the same division, this is a special thing when the Ravens and the Titans get together. I would call it 1B right behind the Steelers. We might get them next
week. I agree. You know, when we had the game pushed back between Baltimore and Pittsburgh on that Tuesday, we had a topic on our show about watching the two rivals for the Tennessee Titans because, you know, for years the Colts beat up on the Titans. Peyton Manning controlled the AFC South universe. The Texans have been good and bad, but nothing consistent. We know what Jacksonville's done. So the consistent good teams and the good rivals have been Baltimore and Pittsburgh, even after the split with the division. So I still point to Baltimore. I think Titans fans would too, as their top rival across the NFL, as crazy as that sounds, because of the memories. You can pinpoint exactly what happened throughout the time frame, both good and bad for both franchises. And most recently, you know, it's been the Titans the last two visits.
Well, this is fascinating because we're coming down there and this would be a hellhole, be a tough game. We'd be bringing 5,000 fans. We'd be running amok up and down Second and Broadway and having a good time and doing all of the things that we love, this is really a stark reminder of all the things we're missing out, you know, during this period of time. But from a football perspective, an interesting matchup all the way around. I mean, going back to Billick and the Banshee and the Spear and, you know, Jeff Fisher and my boy Schwartz and all of that stuff. I would just say this, for what happened last year, the way the Ravens got kicked in the teeth at home, this is a different kind of trail for them. And I think you guys are getting the Ravens at a different point. And based on the way the defense has played, the Ravens are running the ball well right now. The Ravens are favored to go down there and win. make a case for the Titans and how they've played, because this doesn't feel like last year's version. It felt like we hit the Titans the wrong time last year. It feels like we might be hitting it at the right time this year.
Well, the difference is the defense, right? You pointed to it, and that's what Vegas is looking at on the line. And I don't disagree with saying that Baltimore should put up a ton of points against this Titans defense. They should, because we've seen offense after offense do that. This is a different Titans offense, though, than the one that went to the playoffs last year. Tannehill is throwing a lot more off play action. They're using him more. I think the national snapshot of the Tennessee Titans is based off of last year's playoff run, which is Tannehill throwing between 17 and 20 times per game. And the rest is Derrick Henry winning 17 to 14 games and, you know, 14, 13 games in Foxborough, winning a tight game and then breaking or getting an early lead and winning in Baltimore and then holding tough for a half. And that's about it in Kansas City. It's different this year, Nestor, and it's different because they have the passing element and the downfield threats with Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. Now, the case for the Titans defensively, as bad as this Titans defense has been, they held Baltimore to their fifth lowest rushing performance of this season back in week 11. And I know what Baltimore's done to close the season. They've been excellent. What, four straight games of 238 yards or more?
They were like a different team for 5 or 6 weeks in the middle of the season. Yeah. Lamar wasn't right. They weren't running the ball, whether it's because they didn't want to or whether they couldn't. But, I mean, the mojo around here, and then the whole team catches COVID, and half the team takes the bus to Pittsburgh, and it's been quite a story. And I know you guys had your own COVID thing, right? And that could have completely, you know, ensnared the team back in September. They won all those football games. It's the reason they're playing at home this week, right?
Yeah, they beat Buffalo off the COVID list, where they barely practiced at all leading up to that game, and then turned around and went to overtime against Houston just a handful of days later. So yeah, it's been weird, right? I think for the case for the Titans would be the run defense is much better than their pass defense. If Lamar can hit some passes deep, the Ravens have a great chance of winning this game, and that goes without saying. Look at the last two games. For what the Titans defense has allowed, the top 10 plays yardage wise for the opponents against Houston this past Sunday, 276 yards off of their top 10 plays against Green Bay, 250 yards off their top 10 plays. Baltimore, just in comparison, had 188 yards on their top 10 yardage plays in week 11. So can they hit some passes deep to Hollywood Brown, who has been really good to close the season over the last month and a half? If they can, Baltimore will win this game. If not, the Titans offense will be putting up points. They do that week in and week out.
You can follow Jonathan Hutton out at Hutton 1045. That's 104.5. He is a host there during the middays at 104.5 The Zone. Also, you can follow him out there covering all things Titans and, I guess, trying to gear up for some Predators and maybe trying to steal our baseball team before it's all over. Do you run into John Angelos on the streets down there? What? Give me the story, because, like, there was a whole like thing where they were going to go steal a baseball team, and people were involved there. You got country music stars, Tim McGraw's running around. Are you going to have a baseball team there one day?
Yes, one day. You know what they lack, though? A billionaire. They have all of these investors. They have all of these investors that have bought in to put their name and likeness with the team, and now they need a team owner to come in and say, here's the money. Here's everything we need to build the foundation of what would bring Major League Baseball to Nashville. Everything else is in place. They need the land and the construction and a billionaire, because they have a billionaire son. That's right. Hey, by the way, do you know the story that I am a Baltimore Orioles baseball fan? Like, legitimately.
Well, you know, I mean, if that's the case, I can put on an Orioles hat for you. Here, Rasig made this for me. See, I'm Orioles number one fan. There you go.
Yes.
So I'll hold this up for you. But, you're in Nashville. I thought everybody there would just be like either a Braves or a Reds, you know, someplace you could drive to once in a while, you know?
So here's
maybe
what
Cardinals.
I did.
Cardinals. How about that?
I'm not trying to make this all about Hutton here, but this is props to the Baltimore Orioles. They were phenomenal. So growing up, I was a huge Atlanta Braves fan, and I fell out of baseball whenever I went to college, and I never got back into the groove. Everyone here, you're right, they're either a Cardinals or a Braves fan, some Reds fans, but it's like the SEC. There's a lot of SEC fans here from all of the different parts of the country. And so what I did, I wrote a letter to every Major League Baseball franchise as a free agent fan for the radio show. And there were eight teams that got back to me and pitched why I should be a fan of their franchise. And without any doubt, the Orioles went above and beyond with their pitch. They sent the show gear. One of my co-hosts is a Yankees fan. They denounced the, it was great.
Who sent it? Who was the person to sign the letter? Because they banned me 14 years ago, and all I've ever done is love the team. And my last name's Aparicio. My cousin's in the Hall of Fame. And I built a whole radio station to promote them. Oh, absolutely. I'm the guy that led the walkout on Angelos back in 06.
Oh, well, I mean, now's the time to get back in. I mean, let's be honest here.
Well, I mean,
now's the time to get back in.
They're hiring a PR director. You might be qualified. I'll tell you, seriously, you might be. How long have you been on the bandwagon then as an Oriole fan? I was born into it because my cousin came here off a boat from Venezuela and brought my father, and that's why I'm here. I'm here because my last name's Aparicio. And probably
I have a lot of fans in Chesapeake, Virginia, and they're Baltimore Ravens fans. Some are Washington fans, but a lot are Orioles fans as well. So,
In Norfolk, they've had the Orioles now a decade, right? So,
with the Tides, like people
in Rochester, when I see people from Rochester, they're all like, hey, man, we grew up Orioles fans because, you know, we saw Ripken play at Silver Stadium back in 79 or, you know, whatever it was.
This is recent, by the way. This is like Machado's final season is whenever this all went down.
This was 2 years ago.
What, 3 years ago now?
See, this is embarrassing for them because, like, I own a radio station here and I would promote them and promote their causes and promote their charities and be good to them if they just would stop lying. You know what I mean? Like, here in the city, the old man lied for 25 years and I've had to document it. I had to be the guy on the radio back in the 90s explaining why Davey Johnson wasn't here anymore. You know what I mean? So, like, it comes from sort of a different angle when you've been here as the journalist covering the team forever, right? So, I'm not anti-Oriole. I'm pro-Baltimore. So when I felt like when they did things like not have Oriole, they had Orioles on the jersey. They refused to put Baltimore on their letterhead when they were trying to keep the Washington thing. And the minute that the Nationals happened, they got rich off of that. I've written a book on this, Jonathan. So if you really want to know the history of the Orioles, you want to get the Masson for Dummies series and you want to Google the Peter Principles and you can learn the history of the team that adopted you and why they need to adopt sports radio guys in Nashville when they don't let sports radio guys from Baltimore come in, and I live two blocks away. So, but I digress. There is no baseball, and they're going to be in last place again next year. So, I mean,
I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
I love the little Johnny Appleseed, but the reason that they like you is they might move the team to you. So don't tell anyone. But I just did. So anyway, the football team, Derrick Henry. Yep. What happened here last year was incredibly dispiriting, right? I mean, Lamar's got to go back to Pompano Beach all offseason and explain how 14-2 and how they got behind three touchdowns at home. The whole notion that can this team come back? Could they stop the run? Derrick Henry, you know, there's a little shudder in all of us who watched him run the ball in the SEC, right? Just running people over. We watched that last year. He's the kind of guy that can change the thing. And when the Ravens can stop the run, they're going to win. The concern is stopping him, I think, from the Ravens' perspective.
Everyone is trying to stop him. Like, let's put this in perspective. He's 223 yards away from 2,000 yards on Sunday as the game kicks off. First 10 carries go for 113 yards. That's what he had at halftime. And at halftime, there was no doubt he was getting to 223. He had 200 yards by the third quarter. And then on a carry where he's going to take it to the house, he fumbles the football. It was a great play by Zach Cunningham, but he fumbles the football and doesn't actually reach what he could have. I think he could have rushed for 300 yards this past Sunday. He was on that type of tear. Now, that's week in and week out, though. And there's only been a handful of games where he has not produced. But in all of their wins at 11-5, in those 11 wins, he averages 144 yards rushing per game. So, for all of the discussion about how balanced this offense is, and when you look at the sheet, it looks like pass to run, they are fairly balanced for what they do and what they're known for. This is Derrick Henry, first and foremost. On first down, that's how this offense churns. And if you can stop him early on first down, you pin the offense back a bit. It's kind of like Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. And if you can get a lead, the difference is they're okay. There have been instances in Cincinnati – instances against Indianapolis where they're down 14, 17 points in the second half, and they still turn around and hand the ball to Derrick Henry. And they go 5-6 straight plays with runs to Derrick Henry down two scores, you know, down two touchdowns. That's the difference in the offenses, is they're not afraid to keep the run going because that's how they have the most success. It's through 22.
Well, you mentioned Henry with 300 last week. Ravens ran for 400 last week against Cincinnati. Yeah. The days of the freak and the hitman and, you know, to keep bullocks and, you know, all those years come. Give me a little picture of what they're trying to do with it. I mean, if there is to be a Super Bowl run this year for your franchise, the defense has got to be better than it's been, for sure. And it's got to start this week or it's going to be over.
Or they have to have, you know, these shootouts, and they have to win four straight shootouts. I mean, that's the other way to do it. Their path to 11 wins, and they shouldn't apologize for having a bad defense with 11 wins. But I'm with you. Like, I do think the defense has to get better towards average. Can we see some marginal improvement in that area, especially with the pass rush? They have their franchise low for a season is 31, and right now they have 19.
Gotta drive Rabel nuts, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the difference. Is they allow these chunk plays, third and longs. It's a 50-50 coin flip on whether or not they're getting off the field. I'm exaggerating a bit there, but not by much. I mean, it's been really bad, and because of that, the Titans have had to score 36, 37, 41 points. But they're okay doing that. It's a mindset that we're not used to here. It was field goal Fisher. And now they're okay, you know, flipping the script a bit and saying, let's try to get to 35 points and see if we can't win late in the fourth quarter. It's weird to say that about a Titans offense, but that's what they've done all year. They've shown up and scored boatloads of points. And as another offense, you can't turn it over. The Titans are very opportunistic. They're plus 12 in the turnover ratio. And that's where they are good defensively. They can get a turnover here or there, getting an extra best possession for their offense. And that's ultimately the one or two extra possessions is how they're winning.
I can't be hating on the Titans too much because I got old Oiler blood, but David Questenberry has become an acquaintance of mine, actually a friend of mine through the years of his cancer battles and what he went through down in Houston. And he came into Baltimore. My wife was battling cancer. So we've stayed in touch through all this. Amazing to see him out on the field. I mean, like, you talk about incredible stories in the NFL. Why have I not seen the 10-minute piece on him on the pregame? I haven't yet. Maybe it exists, but I'm sure, you know, you've seen it. I mean, he's an incredible story.
I did a fundraiser a couple of years back for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and he.
Thank you for that, by the way. My wife's a leukemia.
Yeah, it was awesome to be a part of. I mean, that group does amazing work. And everyone is connected to a blood cancer in some way. And a lot of research goes through blood cancer research for all cancers. LLS.org, quick plug for what they're doing.
Do it.
Quisenberry was out of the league for 3 years battling lymphoma and came back and just recently started his first NFL game this year. He was a backup in Houston. He was on the Titans practice squad off and on. And this year on the active roster. You know, his most memorable moment was last year when he caught a touchdown pass as a tackle eligible play. This year, he's starting at the left tackle position. I mean, it's a very vast change from what we've saw from him and just a role player. Now he's a starter and he's done okay. I mean, he's a third string left tackle that has started the majority of games for them because of injuries. Taylor Lewan went down in week 5 of this season. So he's done well in what he's asked to do. They're helping on the left side. But the offensive line, for as banged up as they've been, has been remarkable, the injuries that they've pushed through and what they've played through on the interior offensive line. I don't know. I haven't seen the 10-minute feature either. It's deserving. There's no doubt about that. And maybe if the Titans go on a quick run here, he's finally getting some of the credit and recognition he deserves for what he's done.
We were texting back and forth when he was down at MD Anderson and he relapsed. And, you know, I've been with him out in San Diego on a baseball tour. I did 30 baseball, but talk about loving baseball. I did 30 baseball ballparks in 30 days in the summer of 15. And Questenberry stood out at the Jerry Coleman and Tony Gwynn statue and swab people in San Diego with me, big San Diego state guy there. So yeah. Love Questenberry. You know, the Titans story and the ownership and what's happened after Bud and the stability of it all. And I would put Vrabel in the middle of all of that. Boy, Harbaugh was pissed when those guys came in here dancing in the middle of the field and went out there, was ready to fight, you know, 70, the whole Titans franchise, I think, last time around. You know, Vrabel's moved into this place where I think that, they, you know, you got some comfort level there with what he's doing and certainly what they accomplished last year. This is a measurement. The Ravens haven't won a playoff game with Lamar, right? The Ravens haven't won a playoff game since 14. All of these guys, whether it's Humphrey, Brandon Williams, Mark Andrews, Orlando Brown, none of the modern Ravens have won a playoff game. I mean, maybe Anthony Levine and Sam Cook, the punter, Justin Tucker, but the modern Ravens, this is a all new to them. Meanwhile, your team sort of went on a tear and had a lead and at least smelt like it was going to the Super Bowl for an hour or so, you know, last year. It's a whole different thing when that happens as far as where the halo goes for that. But Vrabel's put himself into a nice position there, right?
Yeah, he has the team believe in what he's doing. His clock management, his game day decisions are very good. But I think where they actually buy in is during the week because he's very consistent day in and day out on his message, on the tone, win or loss. And he's a player's coach. He's done a great job of managing practice time, pace of practice for even those actually going through work. I think there's a respect level there because he has been and played at every level of that locker room. You know, he was a special teams player when he entered the league. And he's been in that role.
He looks like he can still go run special teams, I said.
Oh, yeah, I think he'd love to. You should see, I mean, he comes out and does sprints prior to the game, and he looks like a player warming up on game day. There is an intensity there that trickles down across this entire roster. But you said a prove-it game. It is, in a way, for the Titans as well, despite what they did last year. Their entire goal this year was to just host a playoff game, get back to hosting. They felt like they could have been in the Super Bowl if they didn't have to go on the road starting in week 17, which was a win and end scenario. It was a playoff game for them last year. And then they had to go on this road trip for a month and a half. They wanted to avoid that. This is their first home playoff game since 2008 when Baltimore came to Nissan Stadium and won the divisional round. So it's been a long time. It's been a long time. So they're trying to get back up to the top of the hill and trying to peek over and look at the elite teams. And the question is, can they be that consistent? Can they do it in back-to-back years with the formula that's a lot different than what we saw last year? So, and they're having to do it with a very motivated Ravens team. You're right about Harbaugh and pregame. You know, you mentioned the COVID thing earlier. Maybe think of M&T Bank Stadium, the playoff atmosphere last year to the week 11 atmosphere this year, and just how crazy and different it was and the environment there. It'll be the same here at Nissan Stadium, but the intensity level should be the same on the field between these two because of the history that we've recently seen.
Jonathan Hutton joining us here. You can follow him out on Twitter and listen in at the Midday 180. He's at 104.5 The Zone. You can follow him at Hutton. It's H-U-T-T-O-N 104.5. Hey, man, I appreciate the visit. I mean, I wish we were coming down there. I wish I was going over to Mon-El's. I mean, you and I go over to Mon-El's, I'll be passing chicken and biscuits and eggs and bacon and, you know, I mean, all the stuff that I love to do there. And you know, I thought about it. I have enough points because I haven't been anywhere in 9 months. I made three trips early in the year. I went down to Houston and sat in an empty stadium up on the roof. And then I drove to Washington, drove to Philly. They let some fans in Philly. And then the season turned in November and I stopped going. You know, my wife being where she is with vulnerability and just sort of the ticking time bomb of the whole thing. I've bailed on it. I have a flight to Kansas City next week if things work that way. I mean, at some point I want to smell and taste and be a part of it again during this ride if they're going to go on a ride. But I figure if they're going to wet the bed down in Nashville and lose this week, I'm going to be happy I wasn't there. But I don't know that I want to be – I mean, have you driven downtown since bombing? I mean, I've seen images and it's startling to me and it's not my town. It's your town, but I love your town, man.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's roped off. I mean, you can't access parts of downtown right now. So I haven't been down on the Second Avenue area, but we work downtown. You know, we're back in studio here on Music Row. So I'm coming in again. It's just very quiet. There's not a lot of hustle and bustle that you're used to, and it's not going to be that way for a bit. Unfortunately, we need this next season. I think the fabric of the NFL, the fabric of college football, is the fan base and the the atmosphere, the passion that goes into it, it's just so different in an empty stadium with piped in crowd noise.
Man, and one day I'm going to get down there and hang off a second floor balcony with you and act that crazy and, you know, put my Predators gear on that I got in my closet. We'll have a good time. All right. I mean, I didn't realize, none of us did, right, until it's taken away.
Yeah.
You know, how many nights I've had in Nashville that I can't have this Saturday night that I really want again. So, hey, man, stay safe down there. Keep it all together. I know you guys have, you know, had, you know, a crazy couple of weeks down there just as a community. We're going to try to stay safe here, play football game. Don't knock us out this year, man. I mean, come on.
It's going to be a great game. I think it's the game of the weekend. People are pointing to Cleveland-Pittsburgh. I think Tennessee-Baltimore is going to be a great one here in Nashville Sunday at noon. Hey, be safe up there as well. And great being on the show again this year. Let's keep this going.
Man, we should we got to annex you back into the division so we can get this going twice a year. Jonathan Hunt joining us here from Nashville, Tennessee, where maybe one day they'll try to steal our baseball team if they aren't already. You can find him at Hutton 1045. They've already stolen you. This is more proof. You're giving me like cannon fodder here, you know, that they're recruiting the Nashville radio station. So, hey, man, have a great new year. Be well. All right.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Thank you.
Jonathan Hunt joining us here from Nashville. You can find me anywhere the internet is served at BaltimorePositive.com. Of course, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat. Rasig's little Oriole fan thing here that I just keep handy dandy because I'm an Oriole fan too. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.